There is a word from the Lord on today, praise God, and it shall come forth from two of our main scriptures, our subject scripture in Genesis 1 and 1, and in Hebrews 11 and 6.
Amen.
As always, we'll be reading according to the New American Standard Version, but if you've got another version, it'll read closely. Genesis 1 and 1, and then Hebrews 11 and 6. Praise God. Genesis 1 and 1 reads this way. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm going to say it again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Hebrews 11 and 6 reads this way. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And I'm going to read it again. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Praise God. Bishop Giles, why'd you read both of the scriptures twice? Well, I believe if a person couldn't preach their way out of a paper bag with a hole in it, if they'll just read the word,
yeah,
the people of God will be blessed.
Right.
So you've been double blessed already.
Right.
If I couldn't even preach my way out of a paper bag with a hole in it, you've been blessed because you've heard the word of God. Praises be to God. If it be the Lord's will, we're going to preach for just a moment and teach and share God's word from this theme and this thesis entitled Faith and the Kingdom of Heaven. You can't have one without the other. Faith and the Kingdom of Heaven. You can't have one without the other. As we embark upon this series title, matter of fact, this is part two of this series, it's important for us to understand that in this life, in this one, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the only thing that is faith is belief in God. The scripture teaches us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That scripture alone communicates to us two opportunities. Number one, the opportunity to believe in God. Number two, to be able to understand that God has a kingdom that he has created. The scripture says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What we want to focus on in part two of this series today is that faith is reflective of one's belief in God. Apart from one believing in God, they have no faith. Hebrews 11 and 6 says it this way, that without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. They must believe that he is. The latter part of that verse says, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Simply said that if a person does not believe in God, then they cannot be the recipients of the rewards of God. I think I won't say that again. If a person does not have faith in God, then it's impossible for them to have faith in God's reward. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When the believer, as Pastor Giles said, believes, amen, somebody, they lay hold of the blessings that God has purposed and ordained for them. But everything begins with a person's relationship, i.e. their belief and their faith in God. If the scripture reads, in the beginning God, and a person says, well, I don't believe in a God, well, doc, close the book and go home.
Yeah.
Close the book and go ahead about your business. Don't bother showing up at the church. Don't bother praying. Don't bother looking for anything to transform your life. Do not bother to look for anything to transform your environment, to transform your circumstance, to transform your situation. Because, see, the world believes that everything came about by some stroke of luck. Something blew up. And we are all here.
Yeah.
Last time I checked. When stuff blows up, it doesn't blow it together, it blows it apart. The existence of a human being, it's kind of like putting a bunch of gadgets together and springs and crankshafts and all kind of stuff and setting it all in a box and putting a bomb in it and saying, okay, once it blew up, all of a sudden the clock appeared. It doesn't work like that. The human existence, the human being is so complicated in their existence. There's billions of transactions that takes place in every human being every second. Billions of transactions within our cells and within our fiber, within our being. Every aspect of us is constantly a precision act of God. That's why I tell people, if something go wrong in your life, listen, don't run off the track and don't let stuff go off the hinges just because you face a little trouble.
Yeah.
Because see, in order to be able to recognize that something went wrong, you have to acknowledge that there's a billion of things that went right. Please heal me today. If somebody gives a pinprick, okay, and a person feels the pinprick on their skin, listen, that means everything is working. Now, it might be some pain with the prick, okay, but had a person not felt the pinprick, then now something's wrong. Yeah, now we have a problem. So when something goes wrong in a person's life, it's over and against the landscape of the fact that God has caused a whole lot to go right. And all to be able to recognize that something went wrong. The scripture teaches in Romans, the first chapter, it says very clearly that God is so obvious in all of his creation. It's impossible for a person, if they've never opened the Bible, to come to the conclusion that there's no God. That's why the Bible says the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. A person has to be a complete fool to come to the conclusion that there is no God. Like a strong man, the sun runs its course every single day. Like a strong man, it gets up and runs the course and then every evening finishes it and sun goes down. There's got to be just so much distance between the sun and the earth. Otherwise, the earth would freeze if it's a little too far, or it would burn up if it got just a little too close. And it's been that way for Lord have mercy. But don't tell them how many years. Man's only been on the earth for somewhere around 6,000 years. I don't care what everybody says. Yeah, somewhere around 6,000 plus years man has been on the earth. But the earth itself is nobody knows how old it is but God. Folk can guess, they can speculate. They might say it's a million years, they may say it's a billion years, it could be a trillion years old. All we know is that the scripture said, in the beginning, God.
Amen.
That word beginning means first in priority, first in rank, first in order. That means that nothing existed before him. In the beginning, God, and then it goes on to say that God created the heavens and the earth. Some people would like to believe that the kingdom of God was not established, as I've said before, until Jesus Christ came on the scene. Jesus Christ put the Pharisees and Sadducees on notice that the kingdom of God had come upon them. In other words, caught them unaware. They wasn't paying attention. And the kingdom of God was standing right before them because the king of the kingdom was standing before them. But the kingdom of God was here from the very beginning. The scripture says, in the beginning, God created his kingdom. He created the heavens and the earth. It didn't just happen in the New Testament. Turn with me to Psalms 145. Let's get just a peek here if we can. Psalm 145. This is a psalm of David. And the scripture reveals to us that David was a man after God's own heart. That was never said about another human being on this planet. So if anybody had a understanding and had intimacy with God, David had. This is what David penned in a song to God, in a song of praise and worship to God. He says, I will extol thee, my God. See, let's stop right there. We don't need to rush. See, I don't know how long it's going to take me to get through this series, but my objective is not to finish it. My objective is that all along the way that every single person gets what God has purposed for them to get. Now, whether that takes 15 parts or 50 parts, we want to make sure that every person gets what God wants to get. The only way to do that is to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. So here we go right here. I will extol thee, my God. David, first and foremost, believes in God. Look at verse 11. Okay? We're gonna move forward. He says, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom. Huh? And talk of thy power. Verse 12. To make known to the sons of men thy mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of what? Thy kingdom. Look at verse 13. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endures throughout all generations. The kingdom of God didn't just give you in the New Testament.
Come on now. Wow.
Yeah. David is worshiping and praising God for being God and giving him glory for the kingdom that he has established. Once again, the scripture says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What is God's kingdom? The heaven and the earth. The whole universe. Now, as I said before, contrary to popular belief, folks initially thought that, okay, the whole universe only consisted of the nine planets that they saw, which was originally identified in the solar system. Okay, Earth being the third planet, Pluto being the ninth planet, and all the other fill-ins, and that was the extent, they thought that was the extent of what was the universe of the galaxy. Since the Hubble telescope, since the advent of the Hubble telescope, they found out that there are galaxies beyond our galaxy. And that within those galaxies, there is tons of what they call black holes that are entry points to other galaxies. And that the galaxies of the universe are endless.
Oh, God. Oh.
didn't know Jesus, if I didn't know God, I'm going to get to know him. I'm going to find out about him, because let me tell you something, that doesn't just happen by accident. The scripture says that the whole universe, the earth and the heavens, reveal his glory. They reveal his glory. Because it is his kingdom, and his kingdom reflects him. Once again, our task here today is to focus in on faith and the kingdom of heaven. You can't have one without the other. So that begs the question. Bishop Giles, why do I want faith? Bishop Giles, why do I even want the kingdom of heaven? You want faith because without faith you can't get God. And without faith, you can't get into the kingdom of heaven, which is the dwelling place of God. Now, Bishop, why do I want to access that? Ephesians put it this way in the second chapter. The scripture says that every blessing is laid up in the heavens in Christ Jesus. Everything that God has ever purposed for us as Christians, he has reserved for us in two places. In his kingdom, in the king. In his kingdom, in Christ Jesus. And apart from a relationship with him, there is no access to the kingdom without going through the king. I don't know about you, but I find it far better. If I didn't know anything about God, and somebody said something to me like this, if they said to me, listen, there are two schools of thought from which I'd like to share with you. I'd like to share with you the fact that you can go around with a rabbit's foot in your pocket and believe that the foot of the rabbit is going to change circumstances in your life. It's going to change conditions in your life. It's going to cause the atmosphere to shift in your faith life because somebody cut the foot off the rabbit. Well, listen to me. If the rabbit was so fortunate in the first place, it never would have lost its foot. Amen, somebody. And then over and against the fact that someone would dare to tell me that we have a maker and a creator who has, through his mercy, through his grace, through his loving kindness, has made a way for us to be able to lay hold of every blessing that he's purposed and ordained for us within his purpose and intention as he has designed us. And all you have to do is live your life in obedience to him and honor him as your maker and your creator, that all might go well with you. And if I took a look around and I saw the sun and I saw the moon and I saw the consistency and I saw the stars in its place, the same arrangement that folks been looking at for millennium is the same arrangement that's still there.
That's right.
The fact that I understand, as I said, how complicated life is. Scientists are still learning about life. That's why they keep coming up with new medicines and new breakthroughs and how they understand the human genealogy and the human gene and DNA and all of those kinds of things. They call it breakthroughs. Listen, God is the one who created it. human beings spent, just here in America alone, they spend billions of billions of dollars researching what God has already done. Now, with that said, if somebody told me the story about the rabbit foot And the fact that the God who created, there's a God who created the heavens and the earth, I'm going to just be honest with you. If those were the two schools of thought I had, I'm going to have to believe in the God who created the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
I can't believe that the rabbit who lost his foot somehow going to be going to cause everything to go well with my foot. I just can't get there. Okay. Now walk with me. Even the scientists, in all of their research and all of their genius, they've come to a conclusion. They call it intelligent design. That things could not have just happened. Couldn't have just been an explosion. Things just couldn't have somehow arranged themselves. That there's intelligent design, that there's a being greater than all of creation that has set things in order, because there are too many infinities that takes us too far that we cannot reach nor resolve. Without coming to a place of faith ourselves and believing that the God of creation, good God, has ushered it all in. They said our knowledge only takes us so far. And there's so much we can't explain. We can only receive it by faith. That there's intelligent design. In man's limitedness, when he sees God's limitlessness, he can't help but come to faith in God. Dare you to search the ends. One great preacher, Josh McDowell, was an agnostic. He didn't believe in, you had to prove to him. He demanded proof that God existed. Now he's one of the greatest teachers and preachers of our day. He searched the world over trying to disprove that there was a God and ran smack dab into it. Good God Almighty, everywhere he was. I'm going to say again, faith is reflective of one's belief in God. And apart from believing in God, faith does not exist. That's why the scripture said that without faith it's impossible to please God. The Lord is not pleased with anybody who dismisses his existence. Amen, somebody. And therefore, the scripture reveals that the person who dismisses God's existence doesn't need to bother looking for God's reward. Can you imagine? Can I make it plain? I want to keep it every day. Can you imagine a son going to a father saying, as far as I'm concerned, you don't even exist. But by the way, buy me a pony for Christmas. You're not even real to me. I don't have a father. But by the way, give me some money or go get me this or that. Listen, it takes a fool. I'm going to say again. It takes a fool to seek what's in God's hand and not even know what's in his heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I said it takes a fool. To want what's in the hand of God and miss the love that God has in his heart for every human being, for mankind. Yeah, faith is reflective of one's belief in God. It's going to be my task here today. And I know I got to get busy. I know I got to get on down the line here. It's going to be my task throughout these next few parts to focus in on faith and then to progressively reveal the kingdom of God so that we can get a better understanding of it. Fundamentally, as I said, it's the place where the promises of God exist. It's the place where the blessings of God exist, because it's the dwelling place of God himself. I don't know about you, but every blood again, blood bought, baptized believer ought to be in a hurry to get there and to do whatever it takes to remain. And the best news that I can tell you today, that if you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you've already gotten to the kingdom of God. For the word of God reveals to us that he alone, is the passageway into God's kingdom. And we'll be dealing with this as we go through the series. And he alone is the source of the blessings and promises of God within his kingdom. Let us move a little further, praise God, as we go forward here. I want to take the time to back up just for a moment, if I can, and give the definition of faith as I found it in the Bible dictionary. The word in the Greek is the word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, and it means moral conviction concerning the truthfulness of God, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation. Moral conviction concerning the truthfulness of God, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation. Okay? As I said on last week in part one, the person who fails or who mistakes and errors to not find or not know or not see or come to an understanding of not only God, but God's truthfulness. For the scripture revealed, the word of God revealed, that he is truth, and apart from him, truth does not exist. Christ said in John 14:6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. God himself is truth. Now the person who makes the mistake, or who errors or fails to understand God and come to a knowledge of God and to know God's truthfulness, by forfeiture accepts the opposite, because there's only two words in the earth. Please hear me today. I said there's only two words in the earth. When Adam and Eve was in the garden in Genesis, the third chapter, Satan came in the form of the serpent. And he told her one thing. It was the opposite of what God had told her. God had told her, she acknowledged that God said that they are not to eat of the tree, for if they did, they'd surely die. Satan came back, long about verse 4, you surely shall not die. For God knows that the day you eat of it, you're going to be like God. So in other words, he tricked her into believing that somehow God was holding out on and holding back, keeping her from something good. So she made the choice. She made the choice, the erroneous mistake and decision to not believe God. By forfeiture, it means that a person believes him. Wow. Have you ever? This is deep. Thank you. Have you ever had somebody lie on you? I don't know if you can live long enough. See, some folk ain't lived long enough to have been lied on. Have you ever had somebody lie on you? See, it could have been a sibling growing up. The lamp got broke, or something got broken, and then you go, they got there and told it before you could tell it. And folk, people believe them instead of you just because they got there first. And the more you tried to tell them that you didn't do it, the more it looked like you did. I don't know if you ever been there. See, but I've lived long enough, the little short time I've been on this planet, to have been lied on. Okay. See, now the person, y'all shouldn't be laughing at me about that, but the person. Who receives the lie makes the decision, or who rejects the truth makes decisions based on the lie.
Yeah. Oh my. No. Oh
See, because we can only make decisions off of the word that we receive as truth. There's only two words in the earth. I don't care what phase it's in, what mountain it comes from, what source of the planet, from one end to the other. There's only two voices in the earth. It's God's voice and Satan's voice. The person who fails to receive the voice of God, i.e. Holy Scripture, the Word of God, who rejects the truth, has automatically by forfeiture bought the lie.
This is good.
They've automatically bought the lie. And that means, with certainty, that their life is going to go off course.
That's right.
Because they now begin to live life on a false premise.
Jesus. That's right.
Jesus in the New Testament, in his parable, he called truth the rock.
Yeah.
And he called the lie sand. And the foundation that's on the rock can weather the storms of life. But the foundation that's on the shifting sand will come down and will crash within itself. And he said, great will be its fall. I don't know about you, but I make the choice and I have the moral conviction within me by faith to believe God and God alone. To receive Holy Scripture, to believe the Holy Bible as the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, it lays out clearly God's plan for humanity. I haven't found anything on this earth that anywhere comes close. Doesn't come close. So it means the moral conviction concerning the truthfulness of God, especially concerning salvation. Because man sinned and fell short in the Garden of Eden and disobeyed God, just as God said, man died. Adam and Eve is not still alive in their human existence. Now we know that God created us as eternal beings, as spirit men. And either a person will live forever with God or they're going to live forever apart from God. Okay? But as far as our human existence, that was what God purposed. That's what's going to happen when Jesus comes back and we're caught up in the air. The scripture says that with that moment we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be like him. That will be our new body, our new being. And we will live forever with that existence, just as God intended for Adam and Eve. But for over 5,000 years, Adam and Eve have been dead because of that decision that they made. And not only did it affect their lives to where they didn't get to experience everything God purposed for them, but it set a course for all of mankind, all of humanity that stemmed from them, that's part of their generations, to be separate and apart from God. And that's why God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, set a plan in motion that because the first Adam messed up, the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be needed and necessary. That through him, man could be reconciled with God and have their relationship restored with God. I'm excited today, as I have been every day of my life since June 23rd, 1985, when I made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in my life. For the fact that God had a plan for my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've accepted that plan. And I encourage everyone under the sound of my voice, or who hears his voice, or whoever heard the gospel, to accept God's plan in the person of Jesus Christ. That through his shed blood, we have redemption. We have forgiveness of sins. Turn with me to Romans, the 10th chapter. So we can get a little deeper understanding of this. Romans, the 10th chapter, the 9th verse, says this wise. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Let me say it again. that when a person confesses with their mouth Jesus is Lord, and they believe in their heart that God has raised him from the dead, they shall be saved. See, once again, there's the reward. Can I stop long enough and tell you that God's reward is both in time and in eternity? See, a lot of people, especially when I first was coming up and as a kid, people used to always sing about heaven. But nobody was singing about heaven on earth. Amen, somebody. They were singing about the kingdom that is to come. They were talking about our time through eternity with God. Can I tell you that God has purposed blessings for us in time as well as in eternity?
God. Hallelujah.
The Lord's Prayer says it's something like this. He says, Our Father, yes, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
God wants us to experience him and all of the blessings and promises that he's purposed for us in time and in eternity. He wants us to get the rewards now and later.
Praise God.
Of knowing him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of being a part of his family, of being in his kingdom as kingdom dwellers. So he says here that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, oh Lord, I don't want to miss that. I'm going to have to be brief, but I got to get here now.
Yeah.
See, what a person says with their mouth matters and makes a difference.
Yeah.
See, if Jesus is not Lord, see, the scripture says that death and life is in the tongue. See, if Jesus is not Lord, then Satan is. I don't know if you heard me. By forfeiture,
yeah,
of the person who does not confess Jesus as Lord, by forfeiture, they have already accepted Satan as Lord. In Romans, the 6th chapter, along about the 16th verse, the scripture says this. It says that the one who the person obeys is the one who is Lord and master over their life. Whoever the person obeys is the one who is master. Oh, somebody can say, Bishop Dodge, you got too deep for me. Let me keep it simple. I was watching TV the other day, and one person had to claim this dog as their pet. The police officer showed up and said, this is real simple. He pulled a Solomon on him.
Yeah.
He said, call the dog. I'm through with that conversation. The dog went to his own, went to his master. Somebody was trying to claim the dog as being a dog, but when the owner said, come on and call the dog's name, the dog ran right to me. The other guy got took to jail for stealing the man's dog. See, the voice that a person listens to is the one who is master over them.
Jesus.
The one who they refuse to listen to, or the one who they reject. Ooh. By forfeiture, they get the other one as master. Please hear the word of God today.
Ooh.
So what you confess with your mouth, when we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord, and the scripture says, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. See, once again, the person can't get the reward of God without first believing God. See, if a person doesn't believe in God, then they can't get the blessing of God. The blessing is Jesus Christ. God raised Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the slain lamb before the foundation of the world. God Almighty, our go-between, the scripture says, our propitiation, the old folks called it, our bridge over troubled water. The blessing cannot be received if it's not first acknowledged in the one from which it comes. Faith is belief in God. It begins with belief in God. Yeah, that God has raised him from the dead. The scripture goes on to say, you shall be saved. You shall be saved by based upon what is said with the mouth and what's believed in the heart. Can I let you in on something? From the abundance of the heart.
Ah,
the mouth speaks. If Jesus isn't in the heart, then Jesus ain't gonna come out the mouth. The Holy Spirit, the test for the Holy Spirit goes this way according to Scripture. No one can confess the word of God, decrees, and declares that Jesus is Lord, lest it be by the Holy Spirit of God. God said, if you want to find out whether he's dwelling within someone, all you've got to do is listen to their testimony that Jesus is Lord. Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. That word saved at the end of verse 9 is the word out of the Greek, it's the word sozo. And it literally means to be delivered. Oh, I don't know if you heard me. I ain't got time, but I'm going to sure try my best. Y'all going to have to pray with me. In 1 Colossians, the 13th chapter, the scripture reveals to us that we have been delivered from darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through our confession with our mouth upon Jesus Christ as Lord and our belief in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, God says that we have brought about our own salvation, we brought about our own sozo, we brought about our own deliverance, to be able to lay hold and to go as an entry point into the kingdom of God in order because of our access, in order to have access to the King, the very one upon whom we believe. His name is Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus Christ. Once again, without belief in God, one cannot expect, nor should one respect, the reward of God. Yeah, that word sozo means deliverance. It means protect. It means to protect. It means to heal. I don't know about you, but there's more to being saved than just saying so.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody gonna make me preach it here. I'm doing my best to teach. I say there's more to being saved than just saying so. You got to say, oh yeah, I'm saved. Okay, good. Now what? Live a saved life. See, somebody's going to miss it. See, there's more to being saved than just say, okay, see, a lot of folks stop with the fact that, okay, I'm going to spend eternity with God. God wants that evidence, the evidence of the fact that you're going to spend eternity with him in the way you live here on earth. It's in your expectation.
Yes.
Concerning his promises.
Oh, glory.
Concerning his word and his will for your life.
Ooh.
Because what a person believes is what's going on in their steps. The scripture says that the word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Okay? Yeah, the word sozo means to protect. Because we are saved. We have God's protection. Oh, I don't know if you, somebody might have missed that. Oh, my God, I sure wish I had time. Listen to me. The word of God says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness, what? In high places, according to Ephesians 6. How can a person defeat something they can't see? Let me ask you another question. How's a person going to do battle with something they can't see? Listen, I done been in a few scrapes in my life. And it was difficult enough whooping something I could see. I don't want to be up against something I couldn't. I used to play football. And I played linebacker, inside linebacker, and every now and then I'd run across one of them lightning quick running backs. And boy, I see guys, they go after tackling, and some guys already got a bad tackling technique. They close their eyes just before they make contact. And you can tell who was doing it because they see the guy in one place and they reach out there and grab thin air and hug and eat dirt, and the guy way down the field scored a touchdown. Listen to me. It's not a good thing to go up against something one can't see. Okay. Now on the football field, it only costs touchdowns scored by the other team. But in life, it can cost one life. In life, it can cause one's marriage. It can cause somebody's family. It can cause somebody's generations. It can cause somebody's peace. It can cause somebody's joy. It can cause somebody's blessedness. God says that because we're saved in Jesus Christ, that we have his protection. That when the enemy tries to, as the scripture says, come in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him and say, no, no, this one's mine. We have God's protection. And we thank him for it. The scripture, it goes on, that word sozo, and I ain't going to have time to go through it, but it also means to heal.
Yeah.
Because we are saved, we have the healing that God is purpose and that God is promised. The word of God revealed in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, that by his stripes we are healed. I don't care what we're facing in our life. God can bring healing, whether it's in our physical body, whether it be within our mind, whether it be within our finances, whether it be in our family. God is our healer. I'll never forget my linebacker coach in college. I got blindsided, knocked on the track and under the bench. One guy blindsided me on the kickoff. And by the time I went over to the sideline, my own player was oohing and all. Ooh, I don't know who got hit, but boy, he got hit. When your own player's oohing and eyeing, and it was them who got hit, you know it was a hit. I tell you, I got hit that day. They didn't have any concussion protocol back then. Because if they had, I'd have certainly had to go through it. But all I knew is them folk had marched down that field and they was on the goal line. And I knew I was a starting linebacker. And I told that coach, look here, it's fine, you kept out a player too. But they will not score this ball. I'm in the game. And I shut it down at the goal line, baby. My coach after the game, he said to me, he said, man, I so respect and I so appreciate you. He said, because he said, man, I want to tell you something. He said, the sin isn't getting knocked down in life. It's when a person gets knocked down and stays there. Good things can happen to good people and so can bad things. But the key in life is not allowing oneself to remain on the ground. Scripture goes on to reveal this, that a righteous man falleth seven times. The word seven is the word completion in biblical numerology.
Amen.
That he could completely fall. But the person who has Jesus will always get back up again. God's protection, God's healing. That word goes on to say do well. It translates do well. Because we are saved, God says that you're going to do well in life. I don't know about you, but I lay hold of the promises of God. I will do well in life. I will achieve in life. I will have success in life. I will win in life. I will have victory in life because victory is in Jesus. And I thank God for it. I knew it was going to be tough trying to preach this, but I'm going to have to. If y'all pray with me, somebody's got to say amen if they want me to finish. I got about 5 minutes left, but If y'all don't say amen, I'm gonna wrap it up.
Amen.
No, I'm gonna wrap it up. Y'all ain't yet. Somebody got to shout amen if y'all want me to finish.
Amen.
All right, well, let me go and bless you then.
All right,
I'm gonna finish it out. Praise God. We talked about what faith meant as far as the definition. It's the moral conviction, especially reliance upon Christ. It also means the assurance and the belief and the fidelity. Assurance, belief, and fidelity. Assurance, we already said on last week, is the confirmation ticket. The scripture says faith is the assurance of things hoped for. When a person has faith in God, it's like going online and buying something and they're giving you a confirmation ticket to let you know it's on the way.
Hey,
that's what faith is. Okay. Now, and that's what it means to have belief in God. Fidelity means the quality of being faithful and loyal. See, the person who receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the person who believes in God, will not only be saved, okay, in time and throughout eternity, but the person who believes God and believes in God and has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will themselves reflect not only assurance, but they will reflect fidelity. F-I-D-E-L-I-T-Y. That word fidelity means to be faithful and loyal. See, this gives us a portrait of what the Christian's life looks like who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Let me get to the scripture so we can make clear. 2 Peter, and I ain't going to be able to wait for you to get there because I got to move quick. 2 Peter, the first chapter, so that this can make sense to us. 2 Peter, the first chapter, and I'm going to start at verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us with his precious and magnificent promises in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. That means we can live like Jesus and act like Jesus and look like Jesus and talk like Jesus, and walk like Jesus. Amen, somebody. Amen. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Verse 5. For this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. Look at verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, meaning that those things, and see, oh Lord, I'm trying to get through this. Please help me. God says that the person who has received Jesus Christ depicts a godly life. They have godly thoughts, they make godly decisions, and they have godly actions that flow from their life. Because they've partaken of the divine nature of Jesus Christ. And God is revealing in verse 8 that as we grow and mature, in other words, the first time you opened the Bible, you know more now than when you first opened it. Now that you've opened it at least a second time, or a third time, or several times since then, or either sat under the taught word, or read and studied the word, God said that as a result of that, we have grown and developed, and thus the life of Christ ought to be increasing within us. In other words, we ought to look more like Jesus, sound more like Jesus, live more like Jesus. It ought to be constantly increasing. He says, they render you neither useless nor fruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks the qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Anybody who's not willing to live holy and therefore look holy through the life that they're living has forgotten that God saved them in the first place. Oh man, somebody's gonna walk with me. They've forgotten the cost that God paid to set them free. It cost God his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10 says, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, oh Lord, have mercy.
Wow.
I'm trying to get through. I'm going to have to stop here. I ain't got but a few seconds left. Please catch this. Righteousness is something practiced. And so is unrighteousness. See, when I first started shooting basketball, I couldn't even hit the rim. It didn't stop me from practicing taking shots. The people in the NBA don't hit every shot they make. That's why every day they keep practicing. As Christians, whether you just starting out or whether you've been with the Lord a long time, we've got to keep practicing righteousness, practicing obeying God, practice doing what we know is right. Does it mean that you won't miss a shot? No, that ain't going to mean that. If that's the case, that the scores in the NBA would be 1,000 to 1,050 or something if nobody ever missed a shot. Amen, somebody. But folks miss shots. He says here, therefore, in verse 10, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Did you catch that? Jesus Christ is the way into the kingdom. And as we live our lives and walk in obedience to God, we continue our journey towards success, towards victory. But it starts with obedience. Bishop John, why you bother to tell us this today? There's a doctrine out there called hyper grace. They talk about the grace of God through Jesus Christ, but they don't tell people about the responsibility that we have to God, born out of the fact that he gave his only begotten son on our behalf. God did not die so that we could serve sin. He died so we could serve him. He did not die so that sin could be our master. He died on Calvary's cross and shed his blood so that he could be both Lord and master to us. May we always, may we forever make sure that God gets the glory and that we tell every single person about his story, not just through our mouth, but through the life that we live, for his glory, for his honor, and for his praise. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen.